Without the sacrifice of many, we wouldn't have a Bible. And everything that we know about God, we learn from the Bible. Now, the Bible talks about general revelation. God made the stars and the heavens and says that man is without excuse to believe in God. But as far as coming to salvation, we have to have the Word of God. Do you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? Now, if it's His Word, and we read it, then something's happening. Amen? When you read the Word of God, God speaks to you. When you read the Word of God to someone else, God speaks to them. And so the writer of Hebrews says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts against Him as did the Israelites who wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years and then failed. But heed the words of God. Heed the words of the gospel. This writer of Hebrews has already told us that when we receive Christ, that we can enter into rest. We talked about that in Sunday school in our class this morning, what that means. In a sense, we enter into God's rest at the moment of salvation, and we can stop trying to save ourselves. Because God's Word tells us that when we come to Him, that He seals us in Christ eternally. And you can't get away from Him. You do have a decision, however. You do have the power to choose whether or not you experience the blessings of being saved. Avery Willis echoes in my mind every time I have this thought that most Christians have just enough Christianity to make themselves miserable. Man, I want enough to make me have peace. Amen? I want enough to have abundant life like Jesus promised us. If He promised us something, I guarantee you, you can have it. And so there's a responsibility on our part in relation to receiving and experiencing the blessings of God. When the children of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, Moses died, and Joshua became the leader of the children of Israel, and he would lead them into the promised land. God had promised Abraham that he would have a land, that he would be a great nation, and that he would be a blessing to the whole world. And as that was coming to pass, Joshua ultimately led the children of Israel into the promised land. What awaited them there? There was the fulfillment of God's promise that they inherited the land. But guess what was in the land? Enemies. There were fortified cities. There were armies. There were kings that would come together four or five at a time sometimes to come against Israel. Would outnumber them. But as Israel obeyed God, they defeated their enemies. They entered into the blessings of God. They entered into their inheritance, if you will. And all of that is a picture of our lives in Christ. When we come to Christ, we enter into a relationship with Him, and there we have the ability then, we have the resources available to us to experience the blessings of knowing Him in the midst of pain, adverse circumstances, poor health, death, destruction, and all of the rest that all of humanity has always experienced living on this planet. Are y'all all right? Life hurts. Sometimes it hurts a lot. But Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And so in Christ, we have the resources. In 2 Peter says that we have everything that we need to live a godly life on this earth, even in the midst of persecution, in their case in Hebrews. I want that. I want that. I want to be able to walk with Christ no matter what my life circumstances are. I want to bring him glory and honor. And so let's look this morning at some things that God tells us in his word, beginning with verse 14 in chapter 4 of Hebrews. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You may sometimes feel like you're outnumbered, but you and God are a majority. So the first thing I want you to see is this. We have a great high priest. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible teaches us about the role of the high priests. And the one thing that you got to realize about the high priests in the Old Testament is that they were sinners just like you and me. Okay, they weren't perfect men, and so therefore God gave them all this ceremonial law of worship that they had to adhere to in order to approach the throne of God, the mercy seat of God, in time of need, in time of sacrifice, in time of offering, in time of worship, exactly the way that they were prescribed to do. And if they didn't, then they put their own life into danger and the well-being of the nation of Israel as well. Now, here's what I want you to see. Everything that the Old Testament teaches about the role of the high priest was merely a symbol of what Christ came and literally fulfilled when he came as our high priest. The Old Testament priest had to make an offering for himself because he was a sinner. And then he made an offering for the people. Now, he could only make atonement for sin on the Day of Atonement once a year. He took the blood of the sacrifice and went through the door of the temple or the tent of meeting. Then he went through the door into the holy place. And then he went through the veil into the Holy of Holies. He went in there with a blood sacrifice. He didn't sit down. He didn't mess around. He didn't tarry. He sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, and then he got out of there. The only thing that separated the high priest from death was the veil of smoke that came up off the altar of incense. If that fire went out, God said that he would bring death to Israel. And that happened in the scriptures if you read. He was not allowed to stay in the presence of God but for a few brief moments. Not only that, all the sacrifices that he made throughout the year up to the Day of Atonement had to be done over and over and over perpetually through the years. But when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, he offered himself as a sacrifice for sins. Once for all. Everything that had to be done to reconcile God and man was done through Jesus Christ. There's not a single thing that you can do to reconcile yourself to God. But Christ does it all. Look at 1 Peter. Just turn right in your Bible there. 1 Peter chapter 3. And mark this verse in your Bible. The words are holy, the paper's not. So make sure you can identify important verses that you can go back to them again and again. Now watch this, verse 18, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, I read verse 19 too, only because I'm not used to this Bible. This is my New International Version. But what does it say? It says, when Christ came, he died for sin once for all. The just or the righteous for the unrighteous, for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. We didn't bring ourselves. He brought us to God. So if God is powerful enough to enter into our lives through his own word and by the power of his own Spirit and to absolutely change our lives once and for all, don't you think he's powerful enough to complete the work that he's began in us? So many people are like the people here in Hebrews. That when struggle comes, then they start slipping back. Why is God doing this to me? Why am I going through these hard times? And they start blaming God for their adverse circumstances. You know why people believe that and do that? It's because they either don't know the truth or they've been taught a false truth. And the false truth is that you can have what's only available on this earth, only available in heaven on this earth. You can't have what's in heaven on earth. Now, you can have a sense of what heaven is like on earth as you enter into the blessings of God through faith and obedience. But listen, don't buy into this false teaching in our world today that says you can have the blessings of heaven on earth. You cannot. You can have some of it. You can have blessings from God. But you are not going to get out of this world without something killing you. You're not going to get out of this economy without it affecting your pocketbook. And it has nothing to do with how much faith you have. Y'all okay? All right? I don't see anybody running out the back door screaming yet. That doctrine does not work in the real world. And that's not what makes it untrue. It makes it untrue because that is not what the Bible teaches. It says, yes, you can know God. You can have peace in the midst of struggle that are promised by God. But you cannot have no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death this side of heaven. Once you get to heaven, then you'll have all of that and more, more than we can even comprehend or understand. So when Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross and he was rose from the dead, he passed through the heavens, the Bible says here. He didn't go into the tent of meeting. He didn't go into a temple made by the hands of men, but he went through the heavens. He passed through the first heaven and through our atmosphere. He passed through the second heaven, through outer space. He went through the third heaven, right into the very throne room of God, and once for all, put his own blood on the mercy seat of God for all eternity. And now, what we have to understand that what was symbolic in the Old Testament was literal in Christ. It's not symbolic. It's literal. God absolutely made the way. He opened the door to salvation. He opened the door to heaven for us. In John 17, verse 4 and 5, Jesus prayed this, Father, I glorified you on the earth. I've accomplished all the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You know where Jesus is? He's up there where he was before he even created this world. And he's getting it ready for us, praise God. And one of these days, we're going to enter into that dimension that is beyond our comprehension as long as we're on this earth. Listen, this is just dress rehearsal. This is just preparation for the glory that's going to be revealed. That's why Paul said the persecution, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the rejection, the pain and the suffering, all the scars that I have in my body are nothing compared to the glory which awaits us in heaven. And all because Christ was the literal fulfillment of the Word of God. And so the writer of Hebrews says, hold on to your confession of faith. Keep going with Christ. No matter what they do to you, if they saw you in half, if they burn you at the stake, keep holding on to Christ. Keep being faithful to Christ. You're bearing testimony to the glory of God. You're saying that the gospel is absolutely true and you're willing to die for it. Isn't that what Jesus said anyway? If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Christ has called us to live in him to the extent that we're willing to die to ourselves, literally, in order to see him and his will perfected in our life. And so he says, now in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus made perfect provision for us. There's nothing lacking. He provided for us perfectly. He knows our temptations and will lead us through them, around them, and out of them when they come. When we're tempted to abandon Christ because of hardship, because of trials and tests and troubles, Jesus said, I'll deliver you. I'll deliver you through it. I'm with you in it. I'm going to show you things that you can't see any other way in the midst of your struggles and in your trials. And so we come to the throne of God as his beloved children, and we say, God, I need your grace. I need your grace to live out the truth. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to abandon the gospel. I'm not going to say, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm not going to question you. I'm going to be true to the gospel to the end. And the Bible says here, in those who have received him, enter into rest, they enter into peace. Those who have surrendered their lives, those who had given their all to Christ by his working, by his power, will endure to the end. Those who are yet undecided about accepting Jesus Christ as Savior need to leave the wilderness. The children of Israel wandered around for two generations in the wilderness and never entered into the blessings of God. The first generation literally died in the wilderness. And many, many Christians wander around never experiencing the blessings of God. You don't have to be that way. You can enter in, but you're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. You're going to have to be willing to conform yourself to the Word of God in order that you might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. God's grace enables you to persevere in the midst of persecution or circumstances that are unfavorable. God's grace is sufficient to enable you to do what you need to do in order to bring glory to God. It's not about you. It's about God's glory. Whatever your circumstances, it's about God's glory. You think of the things that you're going through right now. You think about the struggles that you're going through right now, and you identify something, and you say, God, I need your grace to be faithful in the midst of this storm. I need your grace right now to enable me, to empower me, to remain true to you, and that I don't fall back and embrace the ways of the world. Some people avoid coming to Christ when he speaks to them because they think they have to be perfect before they can come. Listen, if you're going to wait for that, you're going to wait a long time. How many perfect people we have in here? Nobody? Okay. I told my class this morning about that. I said, y'all think about something in your life right now that is what you would consider a sin and is entangling you and keeping you from having the kind of relationship and fellowship with God that you'd like to have. Identify that thing. Now, what do you got? What is the perspective we should have on that? You know what God's people don't understand? Is that God loves you no matter what your sin is. And you think about that. If you're a child of God, God loves you unconditionally. Now, I'm not giving you a license to sin here. Don't read that into what I'm saying. I'm saying that as when you come into Christ, that you are declared righteous before him for all eternity, and you cannot sin yourself out of your salvation. That's something to think about. And I told you a few weeks ago, you can sin all you want to. If you're a child of God, you can. You can choose to disobey God. You can forfeit the blessings of knowing him and walking in obedience to him if you want to. You can shake your fist in the face of God. He's not threatened. You can whine all you want to. He's not shaken. He's not moved. Because he loves you unconditionally. The thing is, a child of God should not want to sin. And when a child of God does sin, then the Spirit of God that lives in that person convicts that person of sin, and he wants to get it out of his life. But there are believers, on the other hand, that know that they're sinning against God and they won't stop. So what about them? Well, they just miss the blessings. Because, listen to me, the blessings of God flow through faith and obedience. The blessings of God flow through those who will believe God and obey God. You say, well, that's the problem with God. He just wants me to do all this stuff. No, he wants you to be holy. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to stay faithful even in the midst of struggle. Because that's where you grow. Now, how do people avoid struggling? Well, some people avoid struggling by taking drugs or using alcohol or involving themselves in illicit pleasures. And guess what? Those things always take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. You want the blessings of God, they've got to come through. Whatever God has revealed to you up to this point in your relationship with him, just walk in that. You don't have to walk where I'm walking. You don't have to walk where Joe's walking. You don't have to walk where Debbie's walking. You got to walk where God has you in your journey with him, whatever your circumstances are right now, whatever truth he's revealed to you up to this point in your relationship with him, walk in that. And then he'll reveal to you more and more as you keep relating to him in Christ. That's the channel of blessing. Faith plus obedience equals blessing. Amen? Don't give up. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Hold fast to your confession. Don't compromise the truth, because Jesus said the truth will set you free. And the reason you can hold on to your confession is because God, through Christ, has taken hold of you, not because you're just bulldog determined to not let go. It's not just you against sin. It's not just you against the struggles of this sin-filled world. You are in a covenant relationship with God, established on the shed blood of Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and you're on the side of He who died and was raised from the dead. And you're going to win. You're going to be a victor. You're going to be a king with the King of Kings. You're going to be a Lord. You're going to rule the angels. Remember, He said this. You're going to be with Him who is all-powerful and all-knowing and ever-present eternally. So whatever light afflictions that we have in this world are for God's purposes. Since I've become a Christian, I have learned it's more blessed to obey than disobey. I have learned that when I'm hurting, I'm growing. Now, I may go through a period of discouragement and depression and defeat. I don't stay there because God always rescues me. He always brings me up out of the pit and sets my feet on solid rock. Let's just review here just for a second. We got a few minutes. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 9. Just as a review, I want you to get your heart around this letter to these Hebrew Christians. Look at chapter 2 in verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little while lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for every one of you. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins because we can't die for our sins on our own. We can't save ourselves. Verse 17, He says, "For this reason He had to be made like His brothers in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people." You see that? Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. "Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on earth in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." What's the opposite of that? What if they had obeyed God? What if they had believed God? Then they would have entered into the blessings of God. That's what He's saying. "See to it," verse 12, "brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart and turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." That's what sin does, is it hardens you. It hardens you. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. "It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later He spoke through David, as was said before, 'Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts.'" Beloved, we have a great high priest who has done everything that needed to be done in order for us to find grace and mercy in time of need. And we have direct access to God. That ought to encourage us today, that we have direct access to God. I'm going to close with this story. I love this story. I've used it in years past, but let me share it with you again. In a small Midwestern college, a professor was given the assignment of contacting a very wealthy man in the city on behalf of the school. They needed funds for an expansion program, and the financier was in a position to make a big contribution. Being a Christian, the professor prayed earnestly that God would guide him. And as he walked into the building where the man had his office, he was cordially greeted by a young man whom he recognized as a former student. He recalled that he had befriended this young man and at a time when he needed guidance, but he had forgotten that he knew about that situation. And when the farmer student learned of the professor's errand, he said, "Oh, come right in, professor. My father's in here." Entering the office, the son introduced the professor and said simply, "Dad, this is my friend. He's all right." And so the father looked up at the visitor, reached for his checkbook, and said, "How much do you want?" The man hadn't even said he was there for anything, but he knew he was there for something. So he said, "How much do you want?" With a blank check in his hand. Whew. Let me ask you a question. How much do you want? How much of the blessings of God do you want? You want just a paltry penance of God's blessings? Or do you want the whole tomato? I want the tomato. I want the whole watermelon. Whatever it is, I want it all. But why I want it is the question. Because I know the blessings of God come through faith and obedience. Now, whatever unfaithfulness and whatever disobedience is in my life is what hinders me from experiencing the blessings of God. Sometimes when God reveals my unfaithfulness or my disobedience to me, it scares the bejeebers out of me. And I don't know what bejeebers is, but I think it's a lot. Lord, I see this truth, but unless you enable me by your grace to walk in that truth, I am so afraid. You ever been there? And then the Lord reminds me, "I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." So go ahead and walk in that truth. But whatever it is that you're facing this morning, go to the throne of grace with confidence, asking for the grace that you need. That will empower you to walk in that truth. Ask Him for the mercy that you need, that will help you endure the suffering or the persecution or the adverse circumstances of life. And His promise is that you can have it. Let's stand together. Now, there's nothing more adverse than not knowing Christ. And there's nothing more needed in your life than the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life and the purpose for your life here on this earth is all in Christ Jesus. So if you're looking for it, if you're looking for contentment, you're looking for peace, you're looking for rest for your soul, it is in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you with the utmost confidence, it is no place else. There's nothing else. You can have Warren Buffett's bank account and you're not going to find peace. You can have perfect health. You're not going to have peace. The only place for rest, the only place for the blessings of God is in faith and obedience to Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Do you know Him? And I see we exist here to help people walk in that journey. So we're inviting you to be a part of that journey with us. We're struggling people. Some people have the idea that Christians are perfect. No, we're not. We're sinners. And we need help. And we need encouragement. And we need instruction. All of our lives. We're in this thing together. You're stuck with me and I'm stuck with you. So whatever God is saying to your heart today, don't harden your heart against Him, but run to His throne of mercy and grace in time of need. He's there. He's waiting. For you Christians, The Spirit of God's already been working in you.